All right, little ones, y'all come on up. We're going to pray for you. Miss Janet's going to take y'all to the back. I hope Maddie Walker, somebody's got something for you to put up here for us.
Thank you.
Palmer Lee, good morning. All right, y'all ready to pray? Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for Miss Janet. Thank you for each of these little arrows. We thank you for using this time to shape them and mold them. We just pray that you would bless their time, bless our time together in here, and that you would speak clearly to us. And we just want to thank you. We thank you for all those you bring into our life. And we thank you for our sweet mamas and grandmothers and the women that you surround us with, that you use so beautifully in our life. So we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. So we're up to chapter number 8. We're going to kind of land somewhere between 6, 7, and 8 this morning and look at a couple things. But I don't know if y'all have ever paid attention. I mean, have y'all ever watched some of those National Geographic or Wild America or any of those shows that will reveal, say, the safari out there. And you've watched how when you've seen those lions or those cheetahs or those leopards or whatever it may be, a bobcat, but let's just say a cheetah. You ever watch one of those cheetahs when they are working their way through that grass and they just creeping and they've got a field out there that's full of either gazelles or something like that. And that cheetah is making, he's finding out which one in that group of animals, that prey that he's going after, he's looking for something or she's looking for something. What is she normally looking for? She's looking for the frailest. She's looking for the one that is feeble. She's looking the one that is weak and can't keep up with the group when they take out and running. So she's looking for an injury. They're looking for something that is going to give some evidence that that is going to be an easy, easy prey. And boy, sure enough, that cheetah will launch out of there being all camouflaged. They suspect that something might be around. You ever notice that when you're watching them? It's kind of like deer when they know something's there. They're kind of a little nervous. They're showing that nervous spirit in them, and they're twitching and they're moving and their head's up and they're sniffing. They're trying to smell. And when you think about that, that's that process of these predators out there are going to prey upon that which is weak and feeble and wounded and hurt. And that's where in our day, in our journey, wisdom gives us some strength and some stability. And as moms and even as dads, as parents, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to undergird one another and strengthen one another, because I'm telling you, the predators of this world are going to capitalize on those who are weak with understanding and weak in wisdom. They're going to trap them and they're going to get them. And that's what we've been gleaning as we've been walking through Proverbs. I know you noticed this, and I mentioned it already, that this wicked woman, this adulteress, this slanderous, boisterous, loud woman keeps showing up. And that has been the message that we continue to see, is that wisdom does something within the nature of a man to help him not get snared or caught by that wicked woman. Because that wicked woman out there, she's out there, and there's more of them out there than there are wise women. And they're going to catch what? The weak. They're going to catch the feeble, Brother Shannon.
That's right.
They're going to catch the wounded who don't have understanding, and they're going to catch them in their grips. And when they do, that path just leads down to trouble. Now, we've got to recognize that there's been points in all of our lives that we've been weak in understanding, and we've been feeble in knowledge. We've been wounded in wisdom, and we all are subject to be caught by this praying enemy who walks in this boisterous old world we live in, who's proud and who's arrogant and who's loud. And we live in a society that prizes that today, that elevates that as a good thing, where the scriptures would teach us by no far is that the demonstration of wisdom. Wisdom is always meek. And wisdom is always yielding. Wisdom is always humble. Wisdom, the wise are always teachable. And they're not loud. They're not boisterous. They're not flamboyant. That's not what wisdom is demonstrated by. And we see these things in Proverbs. Matter of fact, look in Proverbs 7. And this is what I just want to encourage our grandmothers and our mothers and our young moms and our women to really be in tune with, to pick up on this spirit as we've been going through Proverbs and the value of this particular wisdom that we're talking about. But in chapter 7, he says in verse number 1, I'm just going to start there. We're going to look over in chapter 6, and we're probably going to jump into chapter 8 for a minute. Maybe not. We'll just let the Lord lead on that. Y'all good with the Lord leading?
Come on.
Y'all good with the Spirit speaking? And we believe in what the Word says and what He gives to us. So in chapter number 7, beginning in verse 1, now a lot of this has been directed toward the young men, the men. And there's a lot of reasons with that. And there's a lot of reasons why the Bible tells us that wisdom is always spoken of in the feminine sense. That men need wisdom just like a man needs a woman, that a man needs a woman. When God created woman for Adam, that was a need, and that man couldn't be what he was designed to be without a woman. We couldn't be what we're designed to be here at Briggs Chapel without the women in our lives and the role that they play, just like wisdom. So let's read in verse number 1 of chapter 7. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. My law as the apple of your eye. Now, we're going to talk about that law in a moment. We're going to talk about those commandments. That law, just think of it as a way of life. Something that is steady. Something that is consistent. That one of the blessings of being a mom and a dad, in particular mom, is having some being steady. Being consistent. You want to be consistent and steady in what you do. You want to have something that governs your life, that guides you through life, that guards you as you walk through life. And this is what wisdom will do. So this idea of the way of his father, he said, keep it as the apple of your eye. Keep your eye on it. You want to live this away. You want to think this away. He says, write them on the tablets of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. We're talking about in the feminine sense, somebody who's going to guard and protect. See things you couldn't see. Women see things men can't see. Men see things women can't see. But we both need wisdom to walk together through this world, to see things that one another can't see. That's why wisdom speaks in gathering places, so we can help one another. A man could be blind to things that his wife sees, just like we can be blind to stuff that wisdom sees. And that's why he says, call wisdom your sister or your next of kin. Take her everywhere you go. Always have her with you wherever you go. And she's going to help you. She's going to help you. Who's she going to help you with? Who's she going to help you from? Well, he's going to explain that. He says, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. Verse 5, that they, wisdom and understanding, may keep you from who? The strange woman, or the immoral woman, the wicked woman. And that not only applies in this physical world with wicked or strange women, but it also applies, just like how wisdom is something we need to walk with God, that which is not wise is just like the strange woman. That which is not wise of God, that's why the Bible throughout the scriptures refers to when Israel wouldn't listen to God and they went their way and they took up the things of the world, the falsehoods. God called that spiritual adultery. You let the strange woman pull you away to her because you wasn't rooted in what? Wisdom. You wasn't rooted in the wise of the wisdom. So he says that you may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who uses her lips, who uses her mouth, who talks great swelling words, that feeds on the flesh of the young men or the older men. It doesn't matter, young or old. There's going to be somebody who is lacking, who's weak. Who's weak and wounded. Let me show you. Verse 6. It says, "For at the window of my house, I look through my lattice." Kind of peeking out the window, Lucas. You ever heard somebody drive up and you had the blinds closed or the curtains closed, and you heard somebody walk by, you heard somebody outside, so you peek out the window and you take a look. Oh, and you see somebody out there. You wonder, who is that? Who's showing up? Who's done pulled up in the driveway? Or who's walking down the street? One day Keith called me. He said, "Nick, somebody's walking down the street down 498. Somebody's walking down the road. I didn't recognize them. Can you tell who they are?" So I look out there and look, and I couldn't tell exactly who it was. And I said, "I think it's old Joe Fast from down the road. Old Joe will walk up and down every once in a while." I said, "I think it's Joe." And Keith said, "Well, boy, if it's Brother Joe, he done lost a lot of weight. I don't recognize him." I said, "Well, let me verify." So I get in the car and I take a little ride down, because usually people are not walking on our road unless they are doing a little exercise and they live right here. So I get down and I go and take a peek and take a look. Sure enough, it's old Joe. I talk to him, wave at him, and come on back. I text Keith. I said, "Yep, it's old Joe Fast." I said, "He has lost some weight. And if you didn't know it, you wouldn't even recognize him." That's true. So we peek out the window. He said, "Well," he peeked out the window and he saw something. What did he see? He said, "I looked and I saw among the simple." The simple are those who are in the dark on a lot of things in life. They're in the dark on mainly wisdom from God. This is somebody who's just, they're clueless about the ways of God, is the idea. The simple are just clueless. It's not that they are incapable of learning. It's not that they don't have the capacity to learn. They are just in the dark on how God works in this world. They're in the dark on God's wisdom. God describes that person, whether they be 15 years old, 12 years old, 45 years old, 51 years old, or 70 years old, you can be simple when it comes to the things of God. And all God's people said? Amen. So the simple, remember that. They're in the dark. They're clueless. This is why it's very important for us as parents, as moms, you don't want to raise a simple boy or a simple girl. Are you with me? You don't want them to be in the dark on the ways of God. You want them to know what God thinks, because God reveals His heart, the meditations of His heart to man. You can know what He thinks. When you know Him, you can know what He thinks. So our objective is to raise little boys and girls that know Him. And we want Him to know His ways. Well, that begins with having a law, a way we live that is steady and straight and sure and lined up with what God's given us to walk in. We don't want to be topsy-turvy all over the place. We want to be steady and sure and stable and strong and flexible, because with anything in life, you got to have mercy. You got to have mercy. We need mercy with the Lord. We need mercy from God. And we need to express mercy to those around us. Amen. Because none of us are going to stay on the straight. So we need mercy to help us out when we get off track. How many of y'all gotten off track in here? Amen. How many of y'all needed mercy extended to you? Number one, by the Lord. Number two, by your family, by your spouse, by your children, by your church family, by your co-workers. We are in the mercy spreading business. Amen. Because we all need the mercy of God. And anytime you throw a law in anything, you have to have some mercy to go along with that law, because the law is a principled way, and that law is unchanging. So when you get out of it, you got to have mercy to help recover from it, but you also need truth, Because truth's going to provide you the solutions to get back on the way again. To stay in the way. So we need that. Proverbs talks about it. Well, he says this. Listen, and I saw among the simple, and I perceived among the youths. I understood. I could see it. A young man devoid of what? A young man devoid of understanding. Davin, that is like a gazelle that has lost a hoof or two and is unable to run through that safari, and that cheetah can pick it out just by the limp. Or if it's got a knee socket that's done been twisted, and that gazelle is eating, but every time that gazelle takes a step, that knee pops out of joint. Well, there's always a cheetah or a lion or something watching.
Amen.
And when it sees that frail, feeble, weak, and wounded creature, that target is going to zoom in. Boom. There it is. And you see, we don't want to raise boys and girls who are feeble and weak and clueless and in the dark on the understanding of the things of God. Why? This world will take advantage of them.
Amen.
It'll take advantage of them. And it'll chew them up and eat them alive. That's why this is a lifetime investment. That's why you pour your life into these things, being steady, being sure and stable and flexible, and seeing the truth as that enabling availability to get us back on track again, because we're going to need it. So notice what happens. Verse 8, passing along the street near her corner, and he took, what corner? Whose corner? Her corner. Who's the corner? The strange woman, right? Took it on the path toward her house, whether he was going directly to her or that was just the path he took that night on the way home. Verse 9, and in the twilight, in the evening, in the black or the cover of darkness, this is when all this he was watching through his lattice work. Verse 10, and there a woman met him. And she met him with the attire or the dress of a harlot and a crafty heart. This woman, in her attire and in her character and her personality, she was loud, she was boisterous, and she was rebellious. Greg, that is prized in our society today. That is elevated as being, if you live in that kind of manner and you speak your thing, do your thing, and you just go your way, and who cares what everybody else thinks about it, man, they elevate that pound as something to be prized in our society. But the scriptures give us a picture as that is something strange that you don't want to know all that well. Are you with me? That's why it's the idea of a strange woman. You want her to stay foreign to you. You don't want to learn her ways. You don't want to know that. He goes on to say, she was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. And at times she was outside, at times in the open square. She was lurking at every corner. So she caught this wounded gazelle that lacked understanding. And she walked up and she kissed him. And she did it with a face that had no shame. She was not ashamed of her actions. There was no shame in her game whatsoever. And she said to him, I have a peace offerings with me. Today I paid my vows. She said, all things are right. I'm good. I'm good. I'm all right. Look, I'm all right. I'm good. I done went to the temple and got things right with the Lord. I'm all good. You can trust me. You can trust me. Remember, she's going to flatter him, right? She's going to appeal to him. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. Now, he just happened to be the wounded gazelle that she come across. She saw a target, And she grabbed him. There's a good possibility there have been other people come by. Remember, she'd been out in the corner. She'd been out in the street. She'd been out over. She done went to the temple. She done made her peace offerings. But when she came across the wounded gazelle that lacked understanding, she come and kissed him on the lips and said, "I've been looking for you all day." Just like a cheetah. Just like a lion's been looking for the feeble and those that lack understanding. And she goes on and tells him the rest of the story, and you've read it, so you know what took place from there. All she did was feed him with flesh, but because he had no stability in him, he had no wisdom in him, he took those flattering words as if he was the one she has been looking for, and she likes him. But what she didn't know, what he didn't know, was that she was just taking care of herself. She was just feeding herself. She had little ones at home to feed. I see that's when them mama lions go out and attack and grab one of them wildebeest and drag it down and bring it down. She's going to feed the whole pride when she does that. And that's what this strange woman does. She does it unashamedly. She does it with no shame on her face. She she walks through the streets of Meridian or Sumner County or Lauderdale County and Kemper County and Louisiana and Alabama or over in Israel or in Germany, wherever it is. She walks unashamedly with loud, boisterous, half clothed to draw in that prey that she's after. Now, how do we help our little boys and our little girls avoid and stay away from her? We got to teach them. Amen. We got to instill understanding and wisdom to them. The scripture says in Psalm 144, David said it like this. He said, "Lord, take lies out of my life. Remove them from me. And Lord, I ask you to remove me from the lying tongue." He knew that with lies in his life and fitting in with the world around them would be of no advantage to those little boys and little girls in their care. So he said, "Take lies away from me. Remove me from the liar." And he said, when you do that, he says, our sons will be like plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters would be like pillars sculpted palace style. I think in chapter 9, the scripture says wisdom has already hewn out her seven pillars. Wow, what does pillars do? Pillars support things. So pillars are stability to things. And the psalmist knew, David knew, God, do something in me. You got to work in me as a dad. You got to work in my wife as a wife, as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a father, as we as moms and dads. You got to do something in me, because if you don't do something in me, my children are only going to be wounded gazelles for the prey out there. And the lions and the cheetahs and the predators of this world are going to rip them apart. Amen. So is this something that we ought to take really serious? Yeah. Oh yes, it really is. So much as, that's why we've been learning from Proverbs 1 to Proverbs 2. The scripture says, look, we're to take hold of these things. Receive them, Brother Shannon. Take hold of them. Take possession of instruction, take possession of wisdom, take ownership of it, and cry out for it, lift up our voice for it, and seek it as if we would seek for treasure and for silver and gold. Why? Because it's only then we're going to find it. Amen. And we find it so that we can what? Live it, and then lead by it, so that we can be steady and stable and strong and deposit it into our little girls and our little boys. Amen? Amen. Why? Because we want them to be wise beyond their years. We want them to be like flourishing plants and pillars. Plants and pillars. Planted and positioned with purpose. Amen. That they're not feeble folk, simple-minded fools walking through a world that's going to tear them apart without the wisdom of God. How many of y'all wish you knew some things that you know now, you wish you would have known it then? Amen. Are you with me? Wouldn't have fallen trapped to things. Wouldn't have been snapped. How many of us are subject to this? Come on. Everybody. Are you with me? Amen. Is this something you can't rest your life upon the wisdom you knew a year ago? This is what a fresh wisdom is always preparing a table for us, Brother Shannon. Amen. So that we can feast and have fellowship and glean. He said, don't just say to wisdom, you're my sister and you're my next of kin, one time. You to take her everywhere you go. Why? Because the predator is always watching.
Amen.
The predators of this life are always looking. And it delights my heart to see you mamas and you grandmothers pouring your life into your little ones and getting them around other people who can pour their lives into them, and that they can share wisdom, that they could be back here with Miss Janet right now, and they could hang out with Miss Stephanie or whoever is pouring into them, that they can see you delighted in serving and glorifying the Lord and walking with Him. Why? Because number one, you got to have a way to live, a principle to live by, a way to live. That way, we've been seeing this over and over again. Solomon said, look in chapter 6 and we're going to go. Look what he says in chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not abandon nor forsake what? The law of your mother. See, mama's got to have a way she lives. A way. A way that's growing. A way that's being shaped by God. A way that's becoming wiser from day to day. Amen. A way of living. A principled way of living. That those little boys and girls know this is how mom and dad live. This is how mama operates from day to day. This is her way. Now, will mama mess up from time to time? What do we need? Mama needs mercy, amen? You know, mercy triumphs over judgment, doesn't it?
Amen.
God delights in showing mercy. You need mercy. I need mercy. God's mercies are new what? Every
morning.
Look over in chapter 3. Chapter 3. I told y'all that would be it, but look, this come to mind. Look in chapter 3. Look in verse number 1. We're going to tie it back together. Anytime he brings this idea, do not forsake my law, we just say the same way, the law of your mother. And the law means a principled way of living. My son, do not forget my law. What does the law do? It provides stability. 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 A principled way of living, Sandy, provides stability. We need stability. Our kids need stability. We need to be undergirded by this stability of wisdom. That law will govern you, it will guide you, and it's going to guard you. It's stability. But let your heart keep my commandments. The fruit of it will be length of days. That would be a quality of life. Length of days and long life and peace, they will what? Add to you. This way is going to be trustworthy.
Amen.
This way is going to be faithful. This way is going to be strong. Stability. Look what verse 3 says. If you're going to walk in this way, you can't let what? You cannot let mercy and truth do what? Forsake you. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Why? Because you're going to need mercy, boo. Brandon's going to need mercy. Maddie Walker's going to need mercy. Hadley Jane's going to need mercy. Little Palmer's going to need it, amen. But so is Brittany. So is Lucas. So will Brother Shannon and Brother Nick. We're going to need mercy.
Amen.
And so what mercy does, Keith, the law, a way of living, just keep it that way, a way of living provides stability, but mercy provides flexibility. Remember that, flexibility. You got to have some flexibility in there. You lose the sense of flexibility, that which was stable is going to crumble. Tommy, you know when you build a bridge, that bridge has to be able to what? It's got to be able to flex. If it can't flex, it'll break. And if there's no flexibility, mercy in your way, all you're going to do is break them and wound them for the prey.
Come on.
What does truth do? Truth provides that availability or the solutions back to the way. When you've expressed the flexibility in the mercy, truth is provides the availability, the solutions of God to get back on the way again.
Amen.
And they're all, Brother Greg, we need these things. As a mama, stability, flexibility, and availability. Daddies, stability, flexibility, availability. We have a way. When that way gets altered, we show flexibility in that way. And then we have the availability of true Keith to get us back into it again. We all need it before God, and we all have to express it before one another. Amen?
Amen.
And when we're living that way, you know what we're doing? We're building strong little boys and girls who are growing in wisdom and understanding and stature, and it will keep them from that which is strange. It will keep them from being that wounded, feeble prey that the enemy's going to attack and come against. Now, there was nobody stronger and more stable and more flexible and more solid than Jesus, and the enemy still attacked him.
Amen.
But you know, when the enemy attacked him, Jesus had solutions, didn't he?
He did.
He said, "Thus it is written." He went back to the stability. He went back to the way of living. And he stood on it when that temptation came. We want to be able to teach our little boys and girls the same thing. Amen? And help them through that. So the next time you watch a cat in your yard or in a neighbor's yard or a friend's house crouch down and watch that little bird or that little squirrel play out there for a little while, and it's going to stay low and wait for just the right moment for some little weakness of attention, and it's going to bounce, and it's going to bring back some old Rona over here. Y'all notice Rona, she eats good, don't she? We feed her well, but she's always bringing up little things she catches. A Wednesday night or two ago, she showed up with a bat. Not a baseball bat, but a flying bat that she has, and she brings them and lays them at the back door for me. The other morning, she brought a little brown snake, about yay big. First thing I thought is, where's that brown snake's mama? Because if she finds a little one, there got to be a bigger one somewhere, huh? Well, she had it. The other morning, she had a lizard. And that lizard was missing a leg. That lizard was missing a tail. And that lizard was trying to get away, and she'd just tap it back over to the side. She was playing with a prey. That thing was wounded, wasn't going nowhere. She had what she was looking for. And the stranger of this world will do that to our little boys and girls if they don't have stability, flexibility, and the availability back to truth.
Amen.
And that's going to begin with mamas and daddies. Amen? Because it's a way of how we live. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When we love you, we love what God has designed you for. We couldn't be and wouldn't be. It's impossible for us to be, and it's impossible for you to be without us and we without you.
Amen.
We all in this life get to work together. Amen?
Come on.
Thank the Lord for it. So, Father, we praise you today. We thank you for Jesus, who is our wisdom, our intimacy and fellowship with you. So I pray that the treasure chest of your sound wisdom in Christ will be accessible and available to us. For you are full of grace and truth. You still are. And when you plant that within us, we then understand that we can be stable and strong, and that we need flexibility from you, your mercy and your propitiation. You satisfied your own wrath, and you covered and pardoned our rebellion before you in Christ. So, Lord, we just come before you today thanking you that we can be at peace with you and that we can love you and know you and then pour that into those that are around us, mainly our own families within our own homes, our moms and our dads, our parents and our spouses, that we can help one another be strong and stable and flexible. And we thank you for your message of your truth. So help us with these things today. Bless your people in with your presence and your power. In Jesus' name, amen.